We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And welcome to Overnight America. Oh, boy. Not so hot with the Cardinals tonight now, huh? Well, I know that once you start searching for things online, they always pop up more and more and more and more. And I'm curious, have you seen a lot of these St. Louis Blues buy the T-shirts, buy the bobbleheads, buy this, buy that? There's a lot of commemorative pieces of, anything, knickknacks or clothing that have been hawked online, and it seems like I can't go to any website without there being a St. Louis Blues come and buy this product. Hats, crystal Stanley Cups, miniature Stanley Cups, pictures, paintings, everything. Now, I'm curious. I'm really curious. After the big Stanley Cup win, has anyone bought any Blues memorabilia? And this is what I'm curious about. What did you buy, and how much did you pay for it? Now, there's been street vendors that would show up and start selling these things, you know, at the parade or maybe during game six, whatever it is. But the online world is just such a crazy thing right now. You see the bobbleheads and they look awesome. The T-shirts look awesome. There's so many different variations of T-shirts. And since the internet is the internet, there's so many different variations as well of just things that you can print on it. And it doesn't have to be officially licensed by anything. You can print anything you want anymore. And it doesn't necessarily mean you're allowed to put a Blues logo on it, but you can put something Blues-esque and people get the idea, like play Gloria. You know, no one could regulate that sort of thing. So you tell me, what are you buying and how much did you pay for it? I'm just curious. I'm not that I'm looking for who spent the most money or anything. Numbers 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Let me get some calls for that. I also wanted to point this out. I don't know if you saw this, but MetroStLouis.org put the numbers out of how many people rode the MetroLink during the parade and rally on Saturday. They say an average Saturday is about 25,000 people, which is really high. I never would have guessed 25 grand on an average day for a Saturday. They're saying that more than 100,000 MetroLink rides occurred during the parade on Saturday. Wow, 100,000. I saw some photos. They were jam-packed on there. It looked like when you look at public transportation in Japan or something like that, where everyone uses it. Not here in St. Louis, where you're kind of hesitant to use it. You're like, I don't know. It's going to get dark soon, and maybe this isn't my best thing. And I'm not a big fan of MetroLink. You're not going to find me riding on it. But I will say it's good. You know, it was a good use for it. Obviously, we don't have it around just for special occasions. It's not like we're going to use this as a justification to say, see, MetroLink is useful once every 52 years or whatever. So, all right, what kind of Blues things have you bought? That's what I'm curious about right now. 436-7900. Let's go to Giovanni. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Great. Tonight, first of all, I want you to enjoy your show all the time.
Thank you.
Okay. And I also want you to know, tonight I saw a Pepsi can at Snooks. I paid $1.19 with the Stanley Cup emblem on it, and I will not open a Pepsi can. I'll just keep it until my grandkids get grown.
Oh, that's cool. So you have that sort of collection. I like that they could get those out so quick.
They did.
It's amazing, isn't it? Well, did you see pictures, or did you go to the rally in the parade on Saturday?
No, sir, but I did watch it on television.
Yeah, Budweiser already printed it on their cans and bottles and things. They had them out there ready to go a couple of days after the fact. Well, I guess you have the advantage of it being right here in your backyard and everything. But
that's true.
All right, so you went out and bought a Pepsi can. You just saw it on a whim. I
saw it on a whim, and it's single cans, $1.19.
So you never really thought you wanted to go out of your way to buy something, like a T-shirt or a hat or anything like that?
No, I wasn't going to do that. Somebody gave me a hat. So I was grateful for that, and I saw it, and I just said, hey, look, $1.19, because years ago, we used to save the little Coca-Cola bottles.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know, so I might as well save a Pepsi can. I mean, it's the Stanley Cup. So, you know, hopefully we get another one next year. But in the meantime, we're going to celebrate this one.
Okay. Thanks, Giovanni.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So far, $1.19. I mean, that's the going rate right now for a piece of memorabilia. At this point, you might as well go buy a newspaper somewhere and try to keep that in the basement until it turns yellow and withers. Yeah, but that's kind of cool. I mean, I have commemorative bottles of Coke from the Red Wings back in the 90s. I also have, this is what the local Burger Kings did. They printed off these commemorative hockey pucks, and you had to go to all the Burger Kings to try to find them. Became a mass hysteria. Like, everyone went crazy to try to find these things. Yeah, it was like back when the Beanie Baby phenomenon was happening, and everyone would go crazy and drive to far out locations to try to find that perfect Beanie Baby, then eventually would be worthless. You know, to me, it was kind of cool. You get a Paul Coffey hockey puck or something like that. Sergei Fedorov. And then Arby's used to sell the commemorative glasses and things, and people went crazy for that. I know, I love those little collector things. I do. It's kind of fun. It's fun. All right. Let's go to Todd, who's calling in from Illinois. Hey, Todd.
Hey, buddy. Good talk to you. I did follow the Blues. I really love the Blues, but I really want to talk Cardinal baseball right now.
Oh, yeah. We've got a minute.
Do you really think that the Cardinals played like crap while the Blues were in the playoffs?
You think the players had something else on their mind? I think that the Stanley Cup final, the Game 7, I think they were totally distracted. They wanted to get that game over as fast as possible so they can watch it on TV. Yes.
I think there's a agree 100%.
Yeah. Tonight, but, I don't know. I don't know about tonight, though. That was just
tonight is just another debacle, but, What I want to know is how come I watch every game and I listen to Mike Schilt every night. Why are not the reporters asking the tough question of why are we not hitting the baseball? And Mike Schilt has his two hitting coaches. We got rid of Steve Braun and what's called last year in the middle of the season. Are the players not listening to the hitting coaches because they're singles and doubles hitters and these guys are wanting to hit home runs? Or, you know, that's just driving me crazy. I want to hear your opinion.
Well, I can't really speak on it. I'm not the biggest sports fan. You might be asking something a little bit over my observation level, but I know there's a lot of frustration going on, and that's the thing. But at the start of the year, you know, we get Goldschmidt, we think, oh, this is going to be it. They start off really strong. Not doing so well lately. So what was it so magical at the start of the year? And what's wrong with it now? Because there hasn't been a lot of personnel changes since then. What do you think's changed?
It's the consistency of, one guy hit, another guy hit, another guy hit. You know, he's tried everything.
Yeah.
I just don't think that they don't listen to the hitting coach or they got their own individualistic goals of where they want to go.
Okay. Well, thanks, Todd. Good to hear from you. Yeah, post-Cardinals talk. You know, we can talk some memorabilia, too. I'm just curious, what kind of Blues stuff have you bought so far? And how much did you spend on it? 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. We'll take more of your calls. Overnight America, KMOX. And welcome back to Overnight America. You know, an interesting segment that'll be coming up is called Child Free by Choice. It's a little taboo. It's something I don't quite understand myself. Dr. Amy Blackstone's going to join us, and she's going to talk about married couples that purposely decide not to have children. They're child free by choice. That's kind of an interesting one. Right before we went to the news and went to the break with CBS and Alex Degman there, we were talking about the memorabilia, and there's been a lot of it going around. Every time I go online, any website, all of them have ads for St. Louis Blues t-shirts, hats, bobbleheads, pucks, photos, everything you can think of. Pretty much if they could print on it, there's a St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup edition of it. So it makes me wonder, what have you bought and how much did you pay for it? 436-7900 is the number. Or 800-925-1120. And let me get to Matt real quick in St. Louis. Hey, Matt.
Hello.
What's going on?
Another great night in St. Louis.
Yes, it is. You a Blues fan? No,
of course, of course. So I just wanted to say, I've got a friend of mine that works down at Anheuser, and you had mentioned that you were surprised on how quickly the Anheuser products had came out with the Stanley Cup on there.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And he had said that, well, actually, I saw them. They had them by, I think, game four in their house. The employees, some did. But, of course, nobody wanted to break the curse or, you know, put out the bad juju. So nobody even knew that that stuff was around. But, yeah, they were ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
Way before they even won the cup.
They had to have. That's amazing to me. So they were allowed to take it outside of the factory, the plant?
Yeah, they had it in their house.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so they were watching game seven, and they could have been drinking them during the game, but they chose to wait.
Like, it's fat. To me, I think, okay, what you could do is you could make the cans and then just wait to fill them. But I guess you would have to fill them early. I don't know. Well, that's fascinating. So no one would know the difference. Like, they're not some sort of pre-print. They're not marked in any certain way. It's just like the regular general population just had to wait to get those.
Yeah, that's what I would assume.
Yeah. Well, that's fascinating. All right, Matt. Hey, thanks.
Hey, I got me a hat, by the way.
Oh, yeah? Where at?
Actually, I was real fortunate. Got it at Rally House the day afterwards, and apparently nobody else can get them. I didn't realize that.
Why? What was the? Did they just run out quickly?
Yeah, yeah. All my friends. I was out with them tonight, and everybody's, "Where'd you get it? How'd you get it?"
I know everyone. If you wear anything at this point, everyone's asking you. Like the day after, there was people that were traveling at the airport, and they were wondering, "How in the world did you get that so quick?" Well, of course they got to print these things out ahead of time. But you must have been lucky. How much did you pay for the hat?
It was $35.
Oh, that's a good deal. It probably feels good to wear.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
Cool. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
You know, Jeremy Boyer, the greatest organist in all of hockey, said he bought pucks, shirts, license plate holders, car decal, house flag, and Bud Light bottles, also post-dispatch newspapers. Probably cost about $150 with his discount, over $150. Jeremy Boyer, I'm so glad he was there at the parade. Well-deserved. Kathy in Illinois. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
So what did you buy?
We bought a coffee mug that was all embellished with the Stanley Cup on it and the St. Louis Blues, and we used it as a Father's Day gift.
Oh, that's perfect timing, isn't it? The day after is Father's Day. Where'd you get the mug?
Well, we bought it on Sunday at a Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel sells Blues stuff.
Absolutely. It was perfect. So, we couldn't remember exactly what we paid for it. I think it was around $8.
Oh, that's great.
So it'll sit with our other collections of stuff.
I love it. So you didn't buy the wicker chair, the blue Stanley Cup wicker chair, or the giant checkerboard?
Not yet.
Pieces. All right, thanks, Kathy.
But it went to Oakville, Illinois, and it's going to be sitting there proudly.
Wonderful. Hey, thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people. You can spend a lot of money, a couple $100, and get these little mini replica Stanley Cups. There was one picture of Brett Hall that was circulating the internet of him going around with this thing. Everywhere he goes, he carries around his Stanley Cup. Which, unconfirmed rumor, that's actually a flask. Did you know that? Unconfirmed. Chip calling in from Santa Barbara, California. Hey, Chip.
Hey, Ryan. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
So, okay, I bought a bottle of commemorative St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup champion wine.
Oh, really?
And it was $46. And, okay, so they even had a disclaimer that said, I don't even have any idea what's inside this bottle, but what the heck, the Blues won the Stanley Cup. And so I said, okay, I'm in. So I bought it, and I'm never going to open it.
Yeah.
And I've been a Blues fan for 52 years. Begin in 1967, and I couldn't resist it. So,
where did you buy it?
The wine merchant in Clayton.
Okay, and there's no way that's officially licensed. You think it is?
I have no idea, but I mean, I'm the end purchaser, so I guess I
don't. Oh, you don't worry about it. Does it look official?
I don't worry about it, right?
Like, does it look official?
I haven't even picked it up yet because I got it online and I ordered it and said put it aside for me and I'll pick it up.
Okay, maybe it is then. All right, thanks, Chip.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Oh, that's fun. Okay. Yeah, I saw, and this bothered me so much. Producer Mike, I don't know if you saw any of this. Barstool Sports, you know, they were in town. Their whole deal is they're from Boston, and I equate them to a early 1990s WWF heel, where, you know, the bad guys were kind of funny and cool, and the adults understood what was going on. And, you know, it's fun to go back and look at that sort of thing. It was like the friendly taunting, but, you know, eventually they end up losing. And I kind of equate Barstool Sports to that. There was a lot of this, like, heel mentality when it comes to St. Louis. They're from Boston. They love these sort of things. You know, their guy comes into town. He razzes St. Louis fans. He talks about St. Louis fans on his podcast and the team, and he always looks down on the team. Well, they end up losing, okay? Barstool Sports just harasses Blues the entire run. Then what happens? The very first ad that pops up after the Stanley Cup, oh, Barstool Sports wants to sell you a Blues t-shirt. Play Gloria, St. Louis Blues merchandise. Get out of town, punks. They come here and they harass and razz us for the entire series. And then they want to sell us t-shirts. Get out of here. No integrity with Barstool Sports, you know, at all.
I would beg to differ. I think when you're referring to El Presidente of Barstool, Dave Portnoy, he certainly takes that angle. But, you know, young Page Views and his chinchilla is a Barstool employee. So he was obviously pro Blues the whole time. Their hockey podcast, Spittin' Chicklets, was more, I mean, they were very even-keeled on it and called everything the way it was. So I think you're referring to Dave Portnoy, but I wouldn't associate all of Barstool like that.
He's the president, though. Is he the president, like the real president of Barstool Sports?
Sure, whatever you want to call it. He's the head honcho.
Head honcho. Done.
And he's hilarious.
He is funny. I mean, I do enjoy, I really do enjoy seeing. Like I said, it's like a heel, a 1992 WWF heel, like the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase or Razor Ramon. He's like one of those guys. You know, it's fun and funny. I get it. I just enjoy it. All right. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
St. Louis's news radio is KMOX, on air at 1120 AM and 102.5 HD3, online at KMOX.com, and streaming on the radio.com app.
Now, if I wanted to pull out my wallet, I'm cheap, so it takes a lot for me to want to pull out the wallet. I would buy this album in a heartbeat.
Gloria, Gloria, I think I got your number. Gloria,
I think they got the alias.
Gloria,
that you've been living under.
Gloria,
but you really don't remember.
Buy that album.
Gloria,
I think most people would.
I got your number, Gloria.
All right, if I pop up online to the NHL's official website for merchandise, let's see, $35 for a hat, $35 for a shirt, $70 for a hoodie. Wow. You know, it's 80, 90 degrees out, muggy. There's mosquitoes everywhere. People really buying the hoodies this time of year? I guess at the parade, you had John Hamm. It's like 75, 80, 85 degrees, muggy, and he's wearing a scarf. So I guess you could sell. Probably not too many of those hoodies, but man. Yeah, they have that logo, Stanley Cup Champs, and the cup is almost at like a 45-degree angle, tipping up over the lettering on the top part. Ooh, Stanley Cup Champions. Yeah, about $70 for that. $55 for a polo shirt, $35 for a championship DVD, $70 for a mini replica Stanley Cup. You know what? I really hope. This is what I hope, because I'm super cheap. I hope that in like 10 years, when I go to the Goodwills, some of these things start showing up and I can start purchasing them at that point. Wouldn't that be great? You can get a Vladimir Tarasenko autographed hockey puck for $90. You can get a Stanley Cup championship tree ornament if you want to get your Christmas shopping done early for $12. You can get a unsigned team photograph for $10. Jerseys, official jerseys, still going for about $180. Yeah, I guess that's about right. You can also buy a crystal hockey puck for $50. And most people, I think, just settle for the hockey puck. Oh, look at that. $90 championship banner. This is what I imagine. Big Al is going to his manager right now, and he's saying, hey, I need to get some overtime because my man cave needs to get filled up with all of this merchandise. Do you see this, too? This is on KMOX.com. Busch Stadium has some of the cleanest bathrooms. Oh, isn't that great? Forget about the actual crowd sizes, right? It's like third in attendance in Major League Baseball, from what I remember. Was it third behind the Yankees and Dodgers? I mean, we have a lot of fans that go to these games. That's miraculous. You know, there's no excuse. If you're like a Florida Marlins and no one shows up to your game, like last week, the Cardinals were down there, and I heard them complaining about it on air because they said the official crowd size was like 6,000, but they're like, there's no way 6,000 were here. Not even close. When you have no one showing up to your games and the Cardinals beat you in cleaner bathrooms, that reflects poorly on your organization. When you get 45,000 showing up, and let's just say outside of the workers and things, you have like 4,000, 3,000 showing up for a game, and your bathrooms are dirtier. Come on now. SeatGeek ranks the St. Louis Cardinals Busch Stadium as the 7th Major League Baseball stadium in the nation for cleanest bathrooms and 4th in the country in overall atmosphere. Whenever I talk to people that travel and go to all the different Major League Baseball stadiums, you know what they say about Busch Stadium? They say there's nothing spectacular about it. Like, there's, you know, it's just, like, compared to some of the other ones, they're average. Not that all that great. So that kind of surprises me. Well, the atmosphere, of course not, with the fans. And, of course, you got Ballpark Village right across the street. And there's things going on and fireworks going on. And I would just have an overall good time at Busch Stadium. Really good time. It says the poll was surveyed 8,000 baseball fans. You can find this at KMOX.com. According to the guide on Busch Stadium, they say the best day for a deal is Tuesday. The best time of the season is spring. And the best time to be at the ballpark is at nighttime. Busch also ranks 17th in food. I don't accept that. That doesn't seem right. Busch Stadium's got some good food. You know what Busch Stadium does right? I love at the start of the season when you buy those $5 tickets and they put $5 a concession on that ticket. And you can, you know, you got to pay the fees or whatever, but still you show up, you know, you get to go see a game, and you hot dog with it for $5. That's pretty awesome. If you can get a $5 hot dog anymore. But, you know, overall, it's pretty cool. So Major League survey going on, cleanest bathrooms in the venue. There was, back when I was in Lima, they used to do these sales seminars, and a lot of times small radio markets will do this sort of thing where they'll bring on a sales consultant, and they'll put on the super sale for radio advertising, super duper sale. And the guy comes in, and he kind of like speaks on behalf of your radio stations, and he gives the here's the power of radio speech or whatever. And there was one part of the speech, I saw it a million times because as a radio programmer, a talent, you'd kind of, you know, have to be around and talk to the clients and things like that. And they would always do this one thing. And it's funny because of all the things that any consultant ever said, this is probably the only thing I remember. The only thing I remember. This is what he put as part of his sales pitch inside of his speech. He said, and this is kind of going back to the whole Cardinals thing. He said, no one claims McDonald's has the best burgers, but they sell the most hamburgers. So why is that? Why is it that McDonald's, again, nowhere near, and no one would ever say that they have the top burgers in the country, but still they sell more than anyone else. Why is that? And he said, well, they did a survey, and the reason why people go to McDonald's for many other things is they have clean bathrooms. That was one of the things that surveyed the highest, if not the number one thing. And I thought to myself, hey, ain't that the truth? You think people are going to the Cardinals games for clean bathrooms? Probably not. You know, I had a conversation with Dr. Amy Blackstone, and we're going to play that conversation coming up in a minute. Child-free by choice. One of the weird ideas for me as a married person is the idea that you get married and then you both mutually agree, no kids. That's a little bit weird to me. But it's a growing trend. It's a trend that's been there a while. And she's been studying this for like the past 11 years. And she puts out and lays out her reasons for this sort of thing. And she says, yeah, it's been happening a long time. It's just not as taboo to talk about anymore. Honestly, it's so hard for me to see the other side of this. You know, because I was at one point obviously not married. I know what it's like to be a bachelor. I know what it's like to have no obligations. I know what it's like to go home after work and only do the things you want to do, play video games when you're younger, watch Netflix, binge on whatever TV show, you know, go over here, go do this. You know, you can just pick up and go. You don't have to, you hop in the car and do something, right? There's no hassle with that because it's just you. I know all of those things. Then I got married and, you know, married life was fun. And eventually my wife and I had a kid. And I look back at that time, our portion of when we were married. And I think to myself, okay, did I ever think to myself like, maybe we want to be like this for the rest of our lives. Maybe we just forget the kid thing. Did I ever think that? I'm going to probably say no. I'm going to say we enjoyed our time when we were married without kids. But I didn't realize until after we had a kid just how fulfilling that was going to be. How many parents do you talk to that are like that? They say they don't realize. They just you cannot fully understand the power of what it's like to have your son or daughter and to see them grow and the joys of all of that. It is more fulfilling than the times when you had no children. I hear that all the time, all the time. I don't think it's just parents being optimistic, like they're just trying to be, you know, positive for the sake of being positive. I don't think that's the case at all. I think it's absolutely true because I saw it in my own life. And I think there's a lot of attributes as a parent that come out after you become a parent. So they're always deep inside of you. But when you become that parent, those attributes are activated and you see them in being fulfilled. You see those things. I totally agree, that's my point of view. Dr. Amy Blackstone says none of that exists. She's saying she got married and she never wanted kids and never wants kids. So we're going to have our conversation with her next. It's such a foreign idea to me. Child-free by choice. Maybe you're one of those people too. We'll talk about that next on Overnight America KMOX.
This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker on St. Louis's News Radio KMOX.
Joining us now is the author of Child Free by Choice, The Movement Redefining Family and Creating a New Age of Independence. Also a nationally recognized expert on the child free choice, Dr. Amy Blackstone. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Happy to. Thanks for having me.
So how would you define what's going on when it comes to this child free movement? And can you kind of give me the history of it? Because I didn't realize this was something that has been going on for a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. As you said, this is actually something that's been going on for probably as long as people have been around. There have been people opting out of parenthood. But what's new is that we're talking about it and that it's more of a choice now than it ever has been before because, of course, today we are better able to control our fertility mm-hmm. in ways that we weren't able to do 100 years ago. And you can really see public talk about this choice, about the child-free choice, emerging in the 1970s. And around that same time, the second wave feminist movement was happening. Women were gaining better access to the ability to control their fertility, both through the birth control pill, which became legal in the early 60s, and then through the legalization of abortion. And it was at that time that we really started talking about parenthood as a role that's best filled if people go into it really with eyes wide open and by choice. And, you know, subsequently, we also began talking about the child-free choice. So I think discussion of it or public awareness of it began quite a while ago. And even in the 1970s, an organization started called the National Organization for Non-Parenthood, which was founded by both parents and non-parents who wanted to raise awareness about the idea of parenthood as a choice, also talked a little bit about some of the environmental consequences of overpopulation. And I think what's really interesting about that organization, and I credit that organization really as the founding of this movement, mm-hmm. is that it really was a collaboration between parents and non-parents.
Yeah. I guess this topic, and you mentioned it, there is a little bit of a taboo factor to it, because just on the surface, I look at it, and it's a little bit weird to me, given the thought that there would be, you know, for example, married couples that decide not to have children. It seems like there's a certain progression, and it also feels like one of the purposes to get married is to reproduce, have a family, you know, grow that family, things like that. So maybe you can talk about some of the common misconceptions. You mentioned that in your book.
Yes. Well, I have to say, I confess, as a person who's been married for over 24 years, going on 25 herself, who does not have children, the idea seemed strange to me at first, too. And personally, it took me a while to realize that, oh, hey, this is a choice I can make. And, you know, I like my life as it is, and I'd like to keep it as it is. And other child-free people that I've interviewed over the course of the last 11 years of doing this research share similar stories. And so I think one of the most common misperceptions is that we are a little bit weird. And in fact, maybe we are in some ways, but I think that we're mostly pretty normal. Sometimes, and my friends and family can disagree all they want privately about that when it comes to me. But I think, you know, I think one of the most surprising things for people, and it was a surprise for me too when I started this work, was if you look at the reasons that people choose to opt out of parenthood, they're actually very similar to the reasons that people choose to opt in. And what it really comes down to is, what life do you believe will be most fulfilling for you? Mm-hmm. So for parents, it's the idea of raising a child and contributing to the good of society and the future of society by procreating and rearing kids. Many child-free people also share a concern about the well-being of society and about our future. But for them, the way that they sort of enact that belief is either through not procreating because they're concerned about overpopulation again, or maybe they recognize the real effort that it takes to rear kids and decide, you know, I want to make a difference in the world in a way that is not doesn't align well with being a good parent. Hmm. So they choose not parenthood in favor of making a difference in other ways.
Now, the book is Child Free by Choice with Dr. Amy Blackstone joining us here on KMOX. What do you think happens more? Do you feel like when you're explaining these things to other people, you're trying to convince them of an alternate way of thinking, or do you feel like there's more people trying to convince you that maybe you should think their way when it comes to the family structure?
Oh, that's interesting. No one has ever asked me that question before. It's probably a little bit of both. I mean, I think to propose that parenthood is a choice and that it's perfectly okay to opt out is sort of a radical idea for people. So I can appreciate, and I get that, you know, it may be jarring to hear that. And sometimes when I say that, yes, I think I get people who want to convince me that I'm wrong. And I hope that, you know, through conversation, we come to understand each other's perspectives. And I should say, my mission is not at all to convince everybody to make the same choice that I've made, but it really is to promote greater understanding of choices on all sides. And I think if we're able to do that, we actually might be surprised by the commonalities we find between ourselves, between parents and non-parents. And I think we'll all be better off if we better understand one another's choices and support each other in those.
How long have you been studying this?
11 years.
Yeah.
2008, yes.
What made you want to start studying it?
Well, it was actually my own experience. Yeah. So I'm 47 years old today. And so
today?
Today. Well, not today. Sorry. Okay. As of a month ago. At this moment. I started this work in my mid-30s. And it was a time in my life when many of my friends were making or had recently made the transition to parenthood. And when my friends started doing that, I thought, okay, well, one of these days soon, I will wake up and decide that I want to become a mother. My maternal instinct will kick in, and suddenly I'll know that it's time for me to make the step toward motherhood. And that didn't happen for me. And honestly, I worried that something was wrong with me. You know, I've like I said, I've been married to the same man since I was 22 years old. We have a great marriage, and we certainly assumed that we would have children when we first got married, and that I wasn't feeling that pull toward motherhood felt it was concerning to me. So as a sociologist, my first instinct often is to go to the research when I have a question about life or the way life works. And so I looked for research on how people choose or opt into parenthood and then how people opt out of it. And I was really surprised to discover that there was much less sociological research on the topic than I expected. There certainly was some good research, but not nearly as much as I thought there could be. So I decided, you know what, I have questions about how this works. I might as well do the research myself. So that's what I did.
The book is called Child Free by Choice. Dr. Amy Blackstone will continue our conversation with her next on Overnight America, KMOX. It's an idea that's different, but not really. It's something that's been around forever. Child-free by choice, the movement redefining family and creating a new age of independence. Dr. Amy Blackstone, she's the author of the book, joins us now to discuss here on Overnight America. If you go into a marriage and there's a certain understanding, maybe at some point your husband wanted to have kids and you never really felt that maternal instinct, that causes a lot of strain in marriages too. If one wants one, one doesn't. So has your husband always felt this way too, or did you come to this decision, you know, mutually?
A little bit of both, honestly. We came to it on our own and together. So it's funny. We got lucky in a lot of ways that we ended up in the same place, because I've certainly talked with other couples that aren't on the same page about this. But for us, as I mentioned, when we first got married, we both assumed that we would become parents one day. I had actually really socialized myself toward the role of motherhood. I became a certified babysitter when I was 11 years old, and then babysat all through junior high and high school. I was a nanny in college, and then I even nannied my nephew when I was a grad student. So I was ready. You know, I felt competent to care for kids, and thought I was good at it and enjoyed it. And my husband gets along very well with kids. Kids adore him. It's a little annoying, to be honest with you, because they always love him so much. But he assumed he would be a father too. And when we first got married, we agreed that we were too young. I was 22 and he was 23, and there were other things we wanted to do. And we would check in with each other periodically. And over the years, you know, every year when we checked in, we both felt like we weren't ready yet. And then by my late 20s, that was the point when I was starting to think, okay, I'm going to get the urge sometime soon. And Lance, my husband, also believed that, you know, one day Amy will wake up and tell me she wants kids. And he shared that he expected that would happen and that we would have a talk about it and move forward from there. And when I finally realized, you know, that's not happening for me, I don't think it's going to happen for me, and I shared that with him, what he shared with me was relief. So it turned out that over those years, he really didn't think that he wanted to be a parent, but he accepted that I probably would one day and was prepared to do that with me. I didn't know, honestly, that he was disinclined towards parenthood, but he assumed that he had to become a dad because that's what people do, until I shared with him my own, you know, feelings that, yeah, I don't think this is what I want.
Interesting. So the book is Child Free by Choice, the movement redefining family and creating a new age of independence. And Dr. Amy Blackstone, one of the things you talk about when it comes to the movement perhaps evolving and trying to take the next steps, some child-free adults have formed communities and gatherings, and it's almost like its own community in general. Is that a thing? Is there like a retirement community? Normally you think of like driving the golf carts around, and you know, it basically they're at that age where the kids are all grown up and gone, and they just get to do whatever they want and play golf and pinochle and things like that.
It's kind of like that, although I don't know of any living arrangements where younger people are living together and don't welcome children in their, you know, their neighborhood or whatever. Yeah. But certainly there are groups of people that get together that are child-free groups. And it's interesting, for many years I resisted the idea that this child-free thing was a social movement. I'm someone who studied, that was one of my main areas early in my career. So I felt strongly that we don't have enough in common with each other to call ourselves a social movement. But as I began to study people who've made this choice, I came to understand that even though we're a diverse group, just as parents are, I mean, you think of, you know, parents are as diverse a group as any, even though they have in common parenthood, and it's similar for non-parents. So there are some areas where our interests converge, whether we have anything else in common or not. So the work-life balance is something that comes up a lot in child-free communities. The idea that we tend to assume when we hear that, that the life portion of that equation means children. So sometimes child-free people are forgotten in workplace policies that are centered on work-life balance. So that's an area where we have some common interests, some commonality. And then, as you mentioned, aging is an area that certainly the child-free are cognizant of and are aware that we need to plan for that, although I would argue everyone needs to be aware of and plan for that because, you know, having kids is not necessarily a guarantee that they will be there for you in your old age. So, but certainly aging is a thing that comes up in child-free communities and that's discussed.
One of the things you mentioned that it's not really a social movement, it's not like a club, but you see a lot of times, socially speaking, when they get up to the rallies, and something you mentioned earlier in the interview was about overpopulation or not having enough food in the long run, and you want to look at, you know, global warming, for example, they bring up these arguments about maybe having less kids or no kids at all. That to me seems more of like a social aspect to it. It seems like that part of it is a way that people have been connecting to.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm glad you mentioned that because I neglected that. But yes, we've certainly heard a lot about that, especially in the last year or two. And yeah, there are people who've made that the choice not to be parents because of their really strong feelings about, you know, potential environmental disaster looming as a result of overpopulation. And that is, yeah, that is a topic that comes up for sure.
Yeah. Well, if people wanted to check out your book, and it's called Child Free by Choice, The Movement Redefining Family and Creating a New Age of Independence, where can they find it?
They can find it pretty much anywhere books are sold. So it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. They can go straight to the Penguin Random House website and find it there, and in bookstores as well.
That Penguin group's a good one to be a part of.
Yes, it is.
Dr. Amy Blackstone, it's an interesting idea. Again, like I mentioned at the start of the interview, it seems a little foreign to me. It's not necessarily something that's taboo, but it's such a different way of thinking from myself. It's an interesting way to look at it, and it's good to figure out these certain things. You know, if there's some different way of thinking that means a lot to other people, obviously you want to be able to learn and try to understand those sort of things if it's something you've never really thought of yourself. Dr. Amy Blackstone, thank you so much for coming on to Overnight America.
Happy to. Thank you so much.
Oh, is that nice? That was a pretty good conversation. Yeah, I don't get that. Married 25 years without kids. I have a hard time. I'm sure there's people that are listening right now that may be child-free, not because of a choice, let's say something medically, or, you know, they never found the right one, or maybe their partner didn't want to, or maybe some of them are by choice. It just makes me wonder. Like, I remember the times where I was single, and let me just put it this way. It's such a time weird warp, because there's moments where my wife and son will go visit family, and I'll be alone here in St. Louis. And I think this will be great. I'm going to live the life as if I had no obligations in the world. It'll be like child-free for the week. It'll just be wonderful. And I'll get so much done. I'll get to do all of these things. And like halfway through the first day, I was so bored. I thought, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. I just could not find ways to occupy my time. And then I found every parent does this too. I see people joke about it all the time. My kid's 4. When he goes to bed, my wife and I will sit on the couch or whatever, and we'll think, oh, thank goodness, he's finally asleep. Now we can just do whatever we want. We can catch up on this, or we can talk about that, or we can eat this snack, and we don't have to worry about him trying to get some bites off of us or whatever it is. And what happens about halfway through it? You're like, oh, he's so great. Oh, I can't wait to see him tomorrow. Oh, let's look at pictures of him. I can't understand living a life where you want to deprive yourself of those moments, those wonderful, wonderful moments of having your child, you know? I just purposely depriving yourself of something like that. You know, coming up in the next hour, I got a lot to talk about too. Pierce Morgan, I don't know if he's on fire right now, but he has been making a lot of good points, and I don't quite understand how this is happening. You know, this is the guy that was the CNN reject that had to take the show over for Larry King, tank the show. Like, everyone loved Larry King. I mean, he was Larry King, and at least they had some reverence for him. He comes in, tanks the show. He leaves the country. He goes back over to the UK, and he continues his broadcast career over there. You know, he did a couple of those talent show things, but then again, he never really lasted all that long. Now he's over in the UK, and he has been just making some great points in something that's not stereotypical points that you would see on a CNN anymore. Like, you know, he's standing up about some things that are just completely nonsense when it comes to what some of the society is trying to make social norms. But one thing he brought up, shaming Ocasio-Cortez, comparing Trump to Hitler in her latest rant. It's absolutely weird. It's such a terrible... And all the people I've seen post this online are on the same page except for MSNBC, who is defending her in her comparisons of concentration camps here in the United States. It's pretty terrible and sad, actually. So I want to talk about that coming up. Also, if you haven't seen the update from Tisby's lawyer is making a couple of claims suggesting that there may be a racial side of his indictment. So apparently he's saying that this jury that put the indictment together all had racial motivations in order to charge him with, what was it, the 6 counts of fraud or the 6 counts of, what was it? A lying under oath? Yeah. And also the 1 count of evidence tampering. I guess they're all racist for looking at the evidence and agreeing that they should go forward with the trial. So I want to talk about that coming up too on Overnight America, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.